Hey folks, Tyler from Being This Person here. As you know, or maybe you don't, but as I mentioned in the last episode or two, we are currently at a release of When I Get 'Em stage with this podcast, simply because it has gotten incredibly difficult to get together with people because we are still fighting a pandemic. So when I get one, I'm going to release one. So I got one and you guys get one. This happens to be one I recorded a couple of months ago, actually, before we even knew how the election was going to turn out in the United States. We mentioned that right kind of in the end of it. So it's a little bit dated, but the information is still obviously pertinent. It is with Vicky, who is just a wonderful lady and is a much more talented artist than she gives herself credit for. You'll hear me get on her about that a little bit. But somebody I met in the art world and that I have a great respect for, and she's been awesome enough to come back and do two of these now. So I hope you enjoy the first one, or the second one, as much as the first one. If you've not, go back and listen to the first one. It will help you understand a little bit, I think. So at that point, folks, I would encourage you to subscribe and leave good ratings and reviews on whatever podcast feed you get us through. It is free for you. It does help us. Again, I know we aren't doing a whole lot right now, but any little bit we can do to get us out there, I think, is helpful. You can also tell a friend, not just about this podcast, but about podcasts in general. As I mentioned, and as we all know, spending all this time alone, it's nice to have somebody to identify with. And you can frequently find somebody who's doing a podcast about something you're interested in that you identify with and feel a little less alone. It's a pretty good deal that way. So tell people about them. I do have an email. It is beingthisperson@gmail.com. If you shoot me an email or you want to be a guest on the show or whatever, or you have a friend who might want to be on a guest on the show, that's a good way to contact me. You can also contact me at Being This Person on Facebook. I have a website, beingthisperson.com, and I have a Twitter, which is a little bit more of a personal Twitter. I stay a little bit more active on there lately, just because, again, we have time, but it is at Donis Tyler, so D-O-N-E-S-T-Y-L-E-R. You should be able to find me on the Twitterverse. Say hi if you show up, and it'd be good to have you. I do still have a Patreon. It is sluggishly moving along, and if I continue on this only once in a while releasing, I may shut it down. I don't know. But if you felt like continuing or contributing to the cost of the show, there is a Patreon. It is patreon.com/beingthisperson. And the entry-level tier is a personalized thank you note. So that can happen, provided you give me your address. I won't creep. I'll just send a thank you note. At that point, folks, thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you. Let's roll the theme music. So the first question, and welcome back, is who are you? through the computer.
My name's Vicky. I'm a daughter, a granddaughter, a mom, a wife, a mom, a grandma, and a great-grandma. So there it is. And I drive motor coach up and down the freeway, and every once in a while I dabble in fabric, so...
Wow. Dabble in fabric. As we were talking just before we pressed record, even the comment on the nice thread rack behind your head. I don't know if dabble in fabric is the right thing, but yeah. I'm a verifiable fiber artist, I'd say.
Yep. If it ever comes to, you know, being put in an institution, yay! Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to continue arguing for the fiber artist thing because you have sold your artwork. I've seen it.
I have. Yes, I have.
I've seen it. So
it's very nice when you do so. Yes, absolutely. It makes you believe in yourself. You know, it's kudos to you.
Yeah, it's really validating.
Yes, that was the word I was struggling to find. So, yeah.
Well, it frequently takes two or three heads to get one correct word, as we know. That's why they have writers' groups. But, yeah, it really does kind of show, at least to me, and it sounds like through your expression, too, it shows the energy and effort and thought and processes yeah. I go through to create something has value to somebody else.
Yes, yes. Remember the old Sally Field thing when she won the award and she said, "You love me. You really love me." That's mm-hmm. how I feel when I was selling my things. Yeah.
That is an yeah. excellent, yep, excellent explanation of where, how that feels. It really does feel that way.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's exciting. So I'm interested. You went all the way back to your granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly pretty attached to your family line and heritage?
You know, I was very attached to my grandma, and unfortunately she passed away, but I still remember my grandma, and she gave me, what do you want to call it? She gave me the skills to be a good grandma, and I hope I am a good grandma. So, yeah.
Oh, really? So what are good grandparent skills? Because I may have to learn those soon.
Oh, Jesus. I would go and spend the 2 weeks with her, and we would go to town, and she would treat me, and she, you know, what do you want to eat? And she would show me how to cook things in her kitchen and just, you know, spending time, telling me stories, probably not very good stories, but telling me stories. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of what my grandma did. I mean, She let us watch in the kitchen, but don't you dare set foot in grandma's kitchen while she's working.
Ooh,
she was just, you know, ornery that way. And grandpa may have been a bit more of the storyteller with his hearing aids squealing at you.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I think that's good advice just all around, though, right? Spending time and energy with people.
Just to spend time and listen. Yeah. Spending time and listening. Yeah.
That's important.
And I always knew I was loved by her. Always. So, yeah.
That's a skill right there.
Oh yeah.
Both sides, being able to express that consistent love and being able to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I find them both to be skills.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
So you're obviously practicing, well, I mean your grandkids are mostly grown now, like you said.
The youngest one I have is almost I think she just turned 17. Yeah, she just turned 17. So that's my youngest.
And
oh.
Well, as you said earlier, you're not that old.
I know.
Really, there's no way.
Early. My children started early.
It did, but yeah. You said you have great grandkids too, right?
I do. I have a great grandson. Yes.
What's that like?
You know, this is a funny story. My son was married to a gal, and she decided to go with her parents and go to Utah. And the last time I saw this grandson, he was about 15 months old. And through all the years, he got in contact with us through Facebook, and we rediscovered him. And his girlfriend was pregnant, and she had the little boy. And it's been interesting. It really has. Yeah.
Are they still in Utah? Or have they moved closer?
No, unfortunately, they live in Utah. Right now, they would like to move closer, but they can't do it right now. So, yeah.
So have you gotten – are you living this great-grandparent life – strictly through the internet, or have you gotten to live it in real life too?
Strictly through the internet, and talking to him and seeing pictures of the little guy, and you know, sending the little guy goodies. So yeah, yep, spoiling him.
Nice, as you're supposed to.
Yep. Hang on, just a second. I need to blow my nose. Sorry.
No worries. I'll press pause.
Be right back.
All right. So, yeah, we were doing great-grandma vicariously, vicariously, you're actually doing it through the internet.
Yeah.
How long ago was this kid born?
Which one?
This great-grandkid, yeah.
Oh, he was born in January. January 17th. Yeah.
So you almost would have had to do it through the internet, whether you were distant or not.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, we're doing this through the internet right now because of the way of the world.
Yeah. Yep. So
interesting.
He is. Yeah. It's been really a treat and a joy. So.
Do you get to do video chat or anything? Something similar to this?
Yes, to Nikki, I've done video chat with him. Yeah.
Nice.
And it's been very nice. Yeah. I
mean, I'll use chat in quotes with somebody who's less than a year old, but still seeing the movement and the eyes.
Yeah, seeing the movement and talking to his dad has been very nice. So.
That's. Yep. So. If this is going too far, just shy me away. But what caused? I mean, clearly, if you haven't seen the grandkids since they were 15 months old, and then they're now a parent, what caused that divide? Was it just the move, or?
It was my son being too damn young to marry, and the young lady being too damn young to marry, and she got pregnant, and they decided to get married. So there it is.
Okay. The strife and that comes around.
Yeah, she wasn't happy. And her parents, Tyler, I've had people come into my door saying, please don't judge our religion by these people. But anyway, she decided to move, and she did. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes some sense and deepens the story in a way I can understand as well.
Yeah.
No need to dwell on that divide in people in society.
Nope. Yep. Well. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's interesting people on all sides of all of the fences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, never mind. Yeah.
So let's get into the meat of this one. I'm going to ask you the real first question now.
Okay.
The real first question is, can you define happy or happiness?
Oh, God. You don't make them easy, do you?
Nope.
You know, part of me thinks of happiness as being, you know, laughing and giggling and flowers. But I think for me, happiness is just being content. So that's, you know, if you're content, I think you're happy. Yeah.
What does content look like? Because it clearly doesn't look like flowers and rainbows and glitter all the time or something.
When everything's, you know, when everything is going the way you hope it does, you know, no health problems, no big worries and stuff with the family, you know, you're content. You're content with your life. I think that's happy.
It's actually a relatively common answer. Surprisingly, it was not one that I expected. I expected a lot more rainbows and flowers and stuff. And I have more frequently gotten content or some version of that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to hear what each person says content is. You ascribed it to things going your way as planned.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, life going on without any big upsets or any big worries or, you know, oh my God, something has, you know, you have to do something right now or no, I think you're content. And that's, to me, that's happy. So
I'm curious, have you been able to find yourself content in times when you were going through a challenge, you know, when there was a health struggle or something, were you able to find contentedness in those times?
Not really. No. No, you just kind of deal with the situation. You're not content until everything is done. And then you find contentment because you think, okay, I did the best I could. You know, that's over with and this is getting better. And yeah.
Okay.
So.
Are you able or have you been able to find joy in those times of struggle? Like those little glimmers of somebody's had surgery and the painkillers are on makes him incontinent. And, you know, I mean, maybe that's a little too dirty, but the laugh you get out of that situation where it's just, so are you able to find joy in those times sometimes?
Probably not joy, but just, you know, with, and for me, I tend to use humor to diffuse some, you know, sad situations. No, I find joy in other things, you know, being content and being joyful, I think, are two different things. So.
Will you explain to me what joyful looks like? So that maybe I'm trying to understand. I know I'm playing with words, but I'm trying to understand. And I think it breeds more context into.
I think joy is, being joyful. You know, being joyful is laughter and, kidding around and enjoying the moment. Did I find joy in the situations? Not really, but you know, I've had joyful moments. Yeah. But for the most part, it's contentment. So.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry for what? Trying to noodle out emotions. Like humankind has been doing it since the dawn of time. We're just working at it some more.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how you have those two feelings separated. Because the way my mind and my heart and my spirit works is that joy is frequently attached to my happiness. And so, for instance, if I find a joyful moment or run into a joyful moment in the midst of kind of a shit situation.
Yeah. But have you taken time to say, oh, hey, this is a joyful moment? Or you just go, ooh, this is a, you know, a breath of fresh air or, you know, a deep breath. So
I do try and take the time. I'm not always successful. I use the word try. I do try and take time to live in that moment and realize that it is a joyful moment amongst a bunch of mess. And I think I had some of that before when I really started to learn to do that. And when I learned to do that was going through cancer treatment with someone. It was kind of my job to make sure that everybody stayed laughing. Like that there was some happy, you know, like my job to take a Sharpie pen and write on the one breast with an arrow pointing at the other one, I'm with infected, you know, and send her off to surgery. That it was my job to come up with those ideas, which really compelled me to love that moment.
You know, there was a moment going through cancer. God, what a great disease! My mother-in-law had thought she overheard a conversation, and she was crying. And I go, "What's the matter?" And she goes, "They're going to cremate me." And I went, "What?" And she says, "They're going to cremate me." Well, she heard a conversation about trim the tree, trimming the tree outside. And she heard as cremate me.
Just the word came through the wall or the other room.
Yeah. And it got my sense of humor going. You know, you could see a big old black truck pull up with a smoke sack on top going, you know, cremations are us. So. You know, that was a stress relief moment. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. Not to mention, I think it's our next business because you can drive a big vehicle and I could totally paint cremations or us on the side.
Big old black, you know,
sounds
box
perfect.
Truck, you know.
Yeah, with a barbecue or tow behind.
A couple of smoke sacks on top,
Yeah. That's exactly the moment where you find that humor or that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That magical space.
I had to go in for a lumpectomy on a breast. And while I was there, you know, the doctor was, you know, doing the thing. And I looked at my husband and I said, hey, can we get this, you know, can we get this pierced? Can we put an earring in, you know? And, it, you know, so, yeah, my sense of humor just goes, so.
Well, it's not only a coping mechanism, as you'd mentioned, but I do think it is in your nature to have more smiles than laughs. I mean, just what I know of you, you tend to be a pretty jovial person. And so you're going to find a way to create that moment of joy in the chaos.
Oh, yeah. So
the question goes back to you. Are you able to live in those moments and realize them for what they are?
Yes, once in a while I can. You know, sometimes I get so wrapped up into it that I can't, but, you know, sometimes I can. So that's a good thing. My family tells me that I get so angry sometimes that I get a Southern woman coming out. And when she happens around, it's ugly. Everybody needs to run. So, yeah.
The leave the room character?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She gets very quiet. She gets very articulated. And she just doles out shit.
Sounds like you mean the kind of shit you may not want to hear shit.
Yeah, or this flying shit. So yeah. Ooh. Yeah. It's better. It's better to go.
I would agree. Give a person some space. Let them come back from there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So back to happiness.
Okay.
Well, I mean, not that we really left it, but the contentment and the joy being slightly separate emotions in your world. Can you relate them both? Like, can you relate them both to happiness? Or is it really just the contentment that causes a happy space?
I think I can relate them. I have a grandson who is autistic, and we were talking about him at one time, and he has a job, he has his own apartment, he has his buddies that they game play with, and and I told him, I said to him, I said, well, you know, you could work more hours and make more money. He goes, well, why? I've got enough money to pay my bills and pay my rent. And I thought, you know, okay, he's content. So his idea of contentment is different than mine, but that's okay because that's him, you know. So sometimes you have to search for the contentment. And sometimes, you know, is it joyful? Yeah, sometimes it is. So I don't know, Tyler. in this day and age, good Lord, you know.
Yeah,
if I'm not up on the water tower with my AK-47, we should be happy. So
I'm totally there with you on that one. I built these questions before the world changed on us, obviously.
Yeah.
As you'd heard them, because I'd been using them for months, maybe a year almost, and then the world changed. It's a very strange conversation right now to have.
It is.
About happiness and contentment and the conversation that we're going to continue having. It is very different than it would, not to mention, we have to do it this way.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
We don't get to sit in the same room together and do it.
Yeah. We're at work, we're having, you know, my business is down 80%. And they went from like 135 employees down to 60. So things are really weird. And they're having, you know, meetings, work meetings, but they're doing it on Zoom.
So, yeah.
You know, you're going, okay. So it's everything is crazy.
It's the way everything is right now.
Yeah.
So I got to, let's run down this path that isn't particularly happy for a second.
Okay.
I know that I have identified myself because I have not only managed to remain employed, but managed to change jobs during this pandemic.
Which is unheard of. So
unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. As I said, I accidentally got the job. But I find in myself, I've identified myself, some survivor's guilt is the word.
Really?
Yeah, where I've got a little guilt that when I look around at all the people that I know that still aren't working and still their industry is squashed, much like yours.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you have any of that in your world, because like you said, they went from 180 to 60. So like two-thirds of the people you used to work around aren't around.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel any like, man, what did I do to deserve this?
No.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Good.
No, I'm just happy that I'm working. So, yeah.
Well, happy that you're working.
Yes. Well, hey, there it is.
I knew I'd get you sooner or later. but that does lead back to your contentment. Like, as we were discussing, you have enough money to live on. It's not comfortable necessarily. Yeah. There's enough to live on, and it leads to your contentment.
Yeah.
Being happy.
If keeping my head down and plugging along is happy, okay, I guess I'm happy.
There's an argument to be made either way, you know? There's an argument to be made either way. Interesting. Well, thank you for going down that little bit of dreary path with me. I'll get out of it now. And move you to the next official question, which is, what can you do to help others be happy?
You can't. Because happiness is a choice. And you can treat them. You can help them out. But to make them happy, it's something that they have to do. You can't help people be happy.
It's funny looking at it
that
direction, because I initially worded that question as what can you do to make others be happy?
Yeah.
And I realized that exactly what you just said is the bottom line. You cannot make them be happy. No. But so I reworded it with the word help instead of make. Okay. So maybe assist them. And you started doing that. Like you said, you can help them out. You can support them. What else can you do to help others? Because you're right. Can't make you happy. I might be able to point you in a direction.
Yeah. You know, check in with them. Listen to them. But as far as making them happy or helping them to be happy, it's a choice. You know, could I sit in my living room and say doom and gloom and ash on my head? Yeah. But I'm not going to do that. So it's a choice. That's what I feel.
What helps you make that choice?
My kids, my husband. You know, it's my stupid sense of humor. So
at least I think I'm funny, right?
Yeah. You know, going back to that cancer scare I had, you know, Nikki was with me in the room and they were doing a, where they put the thing on you and, you know, scan around. What do you call those things?
The same thing they use to tell you whether it's a boy or a girl. Yeah.
Oh, hell, I hate being old.
Well, we're both in the woods looking for the Frisbee now, lady. Let's just move on.
Anyway, I'm laying there with, you know, this little drape thing on covering my other boob while the other boob is being looked at. And the lady leaves. And when she comes back, she's with three other doctors. And they're coming in to look at my boob and look at the scan. Ultrasound. Ta-da!
Thank you.
And,
I would have been up all night.
Anything I can do to help you sleep. Anyway, you know, so I looked at Nikki and I said, great. They didn't even buy me dinner. You know, so it's, I do have this sense of humor. So yeah, my sense of humor won't let me do that. It's like I have a little voice in the back of my mind going, okay, put your big girl panties on and deal with it. So.
And that's where the sense of humor comes from, is the big girl panties voice?
Yeah.
Where does the big girl panties voice come from? Does it?
Oh,
like,
God,
is it a parent or a grandparent or a, just a Jiminy Cricket or a?
I think it's, I don't know. It's just something I've always done. Always to diffuse a situation. So,
do you remember not having that strength, like allowing yourself to be buried in the crappy moment, and somewhere learning, or did, or is this just a strength you've always had?
You know, when I always got into middle school, my dad was a cop, and I live in a small community,
right?
And the kids would pick on you. And I got picked on horribly. And I think that's where it came from, is, you know, just building a hide, a tough hide to get through. You know, you're not going to knock me down and get me down. You know, I'm not going to let you. So, yeah.
Building those calluses on your spirit.
Yes. Kinda. Oh, yeah.
A thick skin, like you said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is real common. I mean, you see a lot of people in small towns, and they appear to a lot of people in the inner city, or in at least the city, inner city maybe isn't the right term, but in the privileged parts of the city, and they appear kind of stoic. And yeah. I think maybe it comes because I've spent time in small towns during my life as well. And people are definitely just tougher,
mm-hmm.
you know? They know that sometimes 3 a.m, you just got to get up and put the baby calf down or whatever the thing is. And it just makes them tougher. And then they turn around and beat up on each other.
Yeah.
Whereas us city kids are all coddled, right?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but you know, it's just, you know, going with the flow, I guess. Just, you know, making yourself tough. Yeah.
Well, then do you count that, those, like you said, you were picked on enormously. Do you count that now, looking back, as kind of a blessing because it gave you that strength? Are you able to?
Oh, God. I don't think I look at it as a blessing, but I think you're right. Yeah. I think that's where I got it, the toughness. So. Yeah, to, you know, just to protect myself. So, yeah. Because, you know, those little shits can be vicious. They really can.
Yes.
And I had firecrackers thrown at me. Woohoo! So, they are vicious.
My mother has similar stories. You're not alone in that at all.
Oh, God. Yeah. When you're chubby and your dad's a cop and your last name is Greer, which rhymes with everything, yeah. You want to come home and wipe the target off you. Yeah.
All the opportunities. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just painted target in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's much what my mother went through as well. I mean, dad wasn't a cop. Dad was military, but then dad was dead because of the military. And so bastard was the word they chose to use instead.
Oh, God.
You know, yeah. Charming, Jesus. Charming society.
Oh, yeah.
The good old days, right, Vicki?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the good old days. So one other thing you said earlier that didn't come up during this helping other people be happy thing that I wanted to see if you still attach. You were mentioning one of the things you can do as a grandparent, great-grandparent, parent, friend, etc., is listen and be there.
Yeah.
Do you think that falls into this helping other people be happy category?
I don't know if it helps them be happy, but, you know, sometimes you have to have that sometimes you call them, you check in with them, you listen to what's going on in their lives. You know, I've sent a friend flowers, you know, because I know she was going through a tough time. So, you know, just kind of checking in and saying, hey, you know, I'm here in your corner. If you need anything, let me know. You know, sometimes that helps. Just telling people I'm in your corner. So, yeah, I hope. So,
I agree with you. And that's exactly what you're doing for your children, grandchildren, et cetera. And what you do for the people around by checking in is you just tell them you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here.
During this virus thing, you know, with my grandson who has Asperger's, he, you know, I call him and say, you know, how are you doing? How's the groceries? How's everything? What do you need? You know, do you need anything? Are you okay? So you just have to check in and say, you know, hey, are you all right? So, yeah.
And it speaks volumes because we all need to hear that occasionally. We all need to hear somebody go, I care. I'm here.
I'm thinking about you today. You know, what's it? So,
yeah. Wow. Good job for doing that. The world needs more. Yeah, you deserve to pat yourself on the back, because that's one of the things we forget to do a lot is we spend time patting other people on the back, but we forget to pat ourselves on the back. And so absolutely pat yourself on the back for that one, because it's important. It makes a huge difference.
Tyler, though, you know, it doesn't cost you a thing though to call a friend or call someone, you know, and say, hey, are you okay? You know, it doesn't cost anything. You know, it's just, you get to listen to, you know, what's going on. So, you know.
Yep.
It's easy to do.
Easy monetarily. You're right. It doesn't cost you a thing, but it's difficult for some people to reach out. And it sounds like your strength allows you that skill.
Yeah.
Which is
valuable. I think we all need to do that more. Yeah. You know, just to tell somebody, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you. So.
Yeah. I agree with you. The world would be a way better place if we were just more attentive to one another.
Yeah.
Just as you said, pay attention and be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be aware. So, yeah.
Man, lady, you're a great one, by the way.
What? Nah.
So I want to use that terrible
being a curmudgeon. Come on, you're ruining my image.
Well, you don't have to share those with the grandkids or the kids or anything. They can still be fearful of you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you can uphold your image everywhere else. It's just here where you can be honest.
All right.
The next not easy question I have for you is: will you tell me about a happy memory?
Yes. Now, this one I have been thinking about. So, there is my husband and myself and two other couples that we've been friends with for years. And we had been talking about every New Year's Eve, we've been talking about going on a cruise to Alaska. And I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, let's do it. Let's do it or quit talking about it. So us gals went to a travel agency, and for a year we planned it. We did, you know, we paid our dues, we did everything, we got signed up, we made notes, you know, got everything taken care of. And we go out on the ship, and the first night on the ship, one of my friends is out on the deck, and he says to his wife and myself, hey, there's a whale out here. So we are leaving Vancouver, British Columbia, and we're out on the ocean, and we see a whale. So now we're out on the decks, and she's in her pajamas, and I'm in my pajamas. And I'm looking at this whale, and I start laughing because, my God, I did it. You know, we did it. We're here, and here is a whale, and we're watching a whale in our pajamas. So, yeah, That's when I was just laughing at the storm, laughing like a loon.
Well, and on the deck of a cruise ship, in the middle of the, ocean, like probably can't see ground, can't see land.
Well, we couldn't because we were, you know, we're making our way. So yeah, it was one of those, you know, I'm sure you've had them where you dream things, but you never think you can achieve them. And then you go through all of this stuff to achieve this dream. And then here we are and we've done it. Yeah. So I laugh like a loon.
That's another thing I want to touch on is that it does take an extraordinary amount of time to plan a cruise, but it sounds like you and your crew were at it for a year, is what you said?
A year.
So you really, really planned it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then I can't even imagine the sense of accomplishment doing it and being there, like you said, the first night, and lo and behold, there's perfect. There's the purpose you were looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
How'd the rest of the cruise go? Did the rest of the cruise go as well?
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Yes.
Nice. Yep. Where it was like, just what else did you run into on it?
Oh my God. We on my birthday we did the glaciers, so I got to see glaciers. Oh my God, we saw whales, we saw otters. Saw beluga whales.
Ooh.
Saw
they're
wolf,
a mystical beast.
Wild wolf.
Oh, wild wolf. Yeah. Speaking of mystical beasts, yeah.
Yep. I saw so many moose hind ends. I don't think I'll ever recognize. Sorry, Tyler. We would.
It's okay. Traveling. I was just trying to take a drink.
we were traveling and we were on a train and the train would interfere with the moose. The moose was walking towards us. They'd hear the train and it'd turn around. And I saw so many moose butts.
Oh, that could be a photo album in and of itself. Just moose butts.
There's a moose butt here. A moose butt here. Yeah. We spent 7 days on the cruise and then we spent 4 days in Denali National Forest. And it was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
I've heard really good things about Denali.
Oh my God!
Didn't they rename that mountain recently?
It was.
They gave it back its original name.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did call it McKinley, and then they moved it back to Denali. And it is. We were sitting in a lodge, and there was cloud cover, and all of a sudden the clouds moved, and here was the whole of Denali, and people rushed out with their cameras to take these pictures because you know. She's like a shy girl. So it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah.
And it's
incredible.
Noted as one of the most beautiful landscapes in the world.
Oh, it is.
Just breathtaking.
We are so used to in the ocean, you know, how the mountain comes down and then there's like beach. These mountains go straight up and down. There's no beach. And that was just, you know, you just go, wow, look at that. So, yeah, it was incredible. It was just incredible.
And I love that you celebrated your birthday during this whole grandiose experience.
My husband celebrated his birthday as we were getting ready to board the ship. And then I celebrated my birthday out in the water looking at the glaciers. And the glacier water is different color. Watching the glaciers, the ship actually pulls in and then the ship turns. So wherever you are, you can see glacier. You know, it's actually slowly spins. And the glaciers make noise, which was incredible. So, yeah, you think it's quiet, but no, it's like snapping and popping and crackling and moaning. And oh, yeah, it was just cool, really cool.
So
one of my best memories ever. So yeah, it was good.
Oh, I mean, well, for the record, you nailed the happy memory one.
Yeah. Okay.
I had forgotten that you listened to this and knew the questions ahead of time until you mentioned it. But the fact that you and your husband celebrated did anybody else in your group celebrate birthdays too?
No, we went in August.
Okay, because I mean, two of you was overwhelming, but if it was like all six of us would have been really nuts.
That would have been fun. But we had balloons in our door and birthday cards from the ship, and we had birthday cake delivered, and it was fabulous. Yeah, it was fun. It really was. We were like big kids, so that was good.
That is awesome. Well, and it sounds like not just content, but extremely content.
Yeah.
Truly, and truly happy.
I've always wanted to go different places and do different things, and I've always not done the steps to do so. And this time I did the steps, and it was achieved, and we had a blast. So, yeah.
That's a long way for a small-town girl whose daughter a cop to go. I mean,
I know, right?
Like, they make stories about that.
Our idea of going on vacation is camping.
Well.
And to go on a cruise ship, to be treated, you know, incredibly well. It was wonderful. We had a gentleman who took care of our room, and I encountered him a couple of times, and he would say, "Oh, madam, how are you today?" I'm going, "Oh my gosh," you know. So it was fun. We had a blast, absolute blast. Yeah, my husband always wants to go. Before we did this, he wanted to go to Alaska, and I would say, "I'm going to Hawaii," and now I'm hooked on Alaska. So yeah, Hawaii can sit and spin. I'll go to Alaska.
For what it's worth, one visit to Hawaii, in my opinion, is a lot like Vegas. I'd like to go see it once. Uh-huh. I want to see the Bellagio fountains one time. After that, really, Vegas is just too much drinking even for me. And
what?
Yeah, I know. Wow. It happens only in Vegas. But Hawaii is like once in a lifetime. It's totally worth it. You will see things you've never seen. So I ended up in Hawaii, obviously.
Yeah.
And I didn't rent a car for the first like 5 or 6 days. I just kind of stayed in the town I was in, with the people I was staying with. And they went to work, and my kid and I just went for a walk just around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we found a freshly fallen coconut. We saw bright yellow birds, like brighter yellow than we'd ever seen anywhere else before, like even in pet stores, just flying around, the white coral on the black rock beaches and just, that was just the walk around the neighborhood, you know? Don't throw Hawaii off the list so quickly.
Okay. All right.
It's a little warm for my taste. Gotta say, they call it the tropics for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
But
apparently, when we went to Alaska, we were told that this weather, this time of the year, this weather is never this good. And we had really great weather. And when we were in Denali they offer a tour through Denali. And on an old school bus, Tyler. Oh, yeah.
Like you used to drive, huh?
Oh, yeah. The breeze was so that we never had the mosquitoes. So we got very fortunate. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because the mosquitoes up there are legendary. Like, A, they can weather the winter, and B, when they come out, they become, like, hawk-sized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had 5 minutes where the breeze died, and all of a sudden the mosquitoes were out, and then the breeze picked up again and they were gone. So it was like, oh yeah, here's the mosquitoes.
Well, that's just the universe rewarding you for the work you put in.
I guess. It was fabulous. So, yep.
Yeah, again, you nailed the happy memory. Good job, lady.
Thank you.
Just to keep us rolling.
Okay.
Next question is, are you happy?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah, I'm content. So, yes. Yeah, for the most part.
That for the most part disclaimer has crept in both the beginning and the end. Like, you bookended content with for the most part.
Yeah.
Is there something you're willing to tell me that you would change or are working to change?
Oh,
to get that disclaimer out of the way.
You know, I'm of that age where you look back and you go, damn, I should have went, you know, I should have did this or I should have did that. You know, I would love to be able to retire, but right now I feel like I can't. You know, I wish things were better for my kids, my grandkids. You know, but I, you know, you have to kind of just say that's their life. And, you know, the other day I told my husband, I said, that might be our monkey, but that is not our circus.
So, right.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to be content with the situation.
So you totally did a me and danced around that question. Good job. I'll call you on it. Is there something you would change, or is that hiccup partially looking back and going, gosh, I should have taken that opportunity?
I am working on being better financially. There.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know, I'm at that wonderful age where you know, you are playing with retirement, Medicare, et cetera, Social Security. And, you know, I've never been this situation before. I've never been this age before. So, you know, it's all new and it's all, you know, head scratching. So, you know, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? Yeah. So, there. Did I answer the question?
Enough for me to let you off the hook. But from what I hear, this adjustment period that sounds like you're in only comes mm-hmm. once in a lifetime. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, look at it like the challenges you went through to get your driver's license, which comes mm-hmm. once in a lifetime if you do it correctly.
Oh, yeah.
I did it twice because I'm good at stuff. but it's one of those things that's only going to come through about once in a lifetime, ideally.
Yeah.
But it led me to the next question is, like, looking for retirement. Retirement sounds like one of the things you would do to make yourself more content. What does retirement look like?
I don't know.
Make it up like a storybook then.
I took time off to raise kids. I took time off to help my husband with his mom and dad. I have no idea. You know, theoretically, we'd like to travel. We have a brand new travel trailer that's only been in a cousin's yard a couple of times. You know, we'd like to travel. We'd like to go, you know, places in the United States. We would like to travel to Alaska on our own time, you know, see things on our own time. So that's, you know, that's what we're kind of hoping to do. So there it is.
Being able
to travel and not worrying about, you know, stuff.
So you've got some understorage in the trailer for the fabric and
no,
a little nook
no.
you can make into a sewing corner? Because I think you're going to need that, Vicki.
I think so, huh? We have an easy up that we can tie down, you know, yeah.
Well, we're great till you're in Alaska when the weather isn't fantastic.
True. Very true. Yeah.
Oh.
Very true.
What else? You just dream a little bit. What else does it look like? I mean, obviously the financial security to be able to travel and not worry about it. And that's a pipe dream in all of our lives. So,
oh yeah. You know, just traveling, spending time with my husband, you know, maybe, I don't know, you know, I have no idea. None.
Go to Utah and see the great grandkid.
True. Yep. I would love to see him. Yeah. My daughter calls him a Buddha baby.
He's got the little round toes, little round fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I love those.
Yep. Little round face. Yes.
My boy was one of those, looked like the Gerber baby, and people called him the Buddha baby occasionally.
Yeah.
He was one of those. He was a spitting image, like the little cowlick and everything for the
Gerber
baby. It was We almost sent pictures.
What happened to him?
me. Oh, me and my genetics, probably.
All right.
Where else would you like to go? Like you said, around America, a couple places in America you'd like to go.
Maine. Yeah, my husband's family in 1600-something was in Maine. And we'd like to go and see some of the grave sites and, you know, some of the places that they were. I really want to see Maine. Gosh, where else? I don't know. Maybe Montana and Wyoming. Maybe that area. Oh, I lied. South Dakota. That's where his dad's family's from. And there's places named after his family. So,
oh.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, my family are black sheep. I mean, we're Heinz 57, so.
A little bit from here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I was curious about the South Dakota thing because, like, short of Sturgis, nobody goes to Dakotas. and so I figured there was something in, but you jumped right in after that with ancestry and going and seeing spaces,
yeah.
Much like
yeah.
your desire there's to see Maine.
There's a valley named after them, you know, different things. They homesteaded there, so, yeah.
That's cool, and I really respect that. Those are my touring the world kind of dreams at this age now.
Yeah,
are those kind of things of let's go see my ancestral grounds.
Yeah.
Oh. Unfortunately, Russia doesn't really want us visiting, so probably not going to happen anytime soon. Yeah. But
we like to walk through New Orleans and eat our way through New Orleans.
Oh so, yes, you know. That's what oh, I yeah. hear. Yeah, you start yeah. your day out with beignets, and then you follow it mm-hmm. up with a cocktail and some more beignets.
Some of their seafood, yeah.
Mm. Yep, and you move into the spicier and spicier food as the day goes on.
Oh, God, no.
Yep,
no.
And then you don't sleep because of heartburn.
Mm-hmm. Because
oh, yeah. we're, you know, young.
So then you're up and you're, you know, late at night walking the streets with your heartburn. Yeah.
And now we all know exactly what happens.
Hey.
Fried sweets in the morning and andouille sausage in the evening. And next thing you know, you're up all night.
Like a fire-breathing dragon. Yeah.
Right. But having a fun time, I hope. Enjoying
okay.
yourself.
Yeah.
Ideally. I also like that a lot of those are pretty peaceful things. They weren't like... All right, so this is going to sound pretty youthful because even this isn't in my world
okay.
anymore. But
okay.
but it's not, I want to go to Knott's Berry Farm and ride the biggest roller coaster. It's not, I want to go to, I don't know where the biggest roller
yeah.
coaster is, but you get
yeah.
it. It's not, I want to go to, I didn't hear stand at the bottom of the Washington Monument on your list.
Mm. Yeah, nope.
I heard more peaceful, let's look at land. Like you mentioned
mm-hmm.
Montana and Wyoming.
Yep.
Open space states in our country.
Yeah.
Both of which beautiful, by the way.
I've seen some scenery and it sounds, you know, it sounds, oh, excuse me, wonderful. Speaking of heartburn.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, just to throw my personal input in because I did on the Hawaii thing, I consider Wyoming, and maybe it's because I grew up in Colorado for a lot of my life, but I consider Wyoming one of those states you really want to go through in the dark of night because there's not much there. However,
okay.
they do give me that one of my favorite stories is there was a giant warehouse on the side of the road, just middle of nowhere. And Wyoming, you can buy a quarter stick of dynamite legally at a fireworks shop. Like that.
Wow.
That may be a mild exaggeration, but not very far from the truth. And
wow.
we're driving out, and there's this giant warehouse, and two-thirds of it says fireworks warehouse, because any state that has that kind of legality,
wow.
people
yeah.
from other states travel to, right? So they know
mm-hmm.
that they're making, that there's an industry there. The other one-third of this building was a liquor store, Vicky.
Oh, my God. What?
It's home. It's just the craziest. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Fireworks. Woohoo!
I know, right? I mean, maybe they got a cheap tax stamp on their liquor there or something, but
yeah,
it was just one of the, I was like, this is nuts. I later went to one of those places in Tennessee because they have similar laws.
Good grief.
And I did literally buy the biggest firework I could buy and a bottle of whiskey at the same parking space. So, I mean, Wyoming might have value in that regard. It's, yeah. You'll see some things. You'll see some things.
Oh, yeah.
They also find dinosaurs there. That's exciting, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some kind of gem or mineral or something that they find, too, there. So
there are a handful of minerals and gems that they dig out of those Rockies.
Yeah.
Yep. It's an interesting place. I've done my share there, but I don't want to discourage you. But again,
okay,
dark at night, get through it and go to the next state. Anything else in retirement that really was perfect? That's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna still shoot for the angle of fabric storage and a sewing corner in the trailer.
Okay.
I think you need that. If you need me to consult with your husband on this, I can do this and encourage him that it's really for his own happiness that this happens.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So the last question. You made it through them all, or at least to the last one.
Woohoo!
Last one is, what makes you happy? What makes Vicky happy?
Oh, makes me happy. That's what my husband keeps asking. What makes you happy?
Fabric storage and a sewing nook in the trailer. We can sell this. Sorry, go ahead. I'm interrupting with my silly jokes.
You know what, though? You've got a point. Creating, working in fabric does make me happy. Because I'm not doing anything for sale, you know, for retail anymore. And I find that I need to create to make me happy. Sunshine makes me happy. Not the 90-degree weather, but uh-oh.
You'll appear again.
Yep.
Touch a little. There it is. Yep.
Perfect. There it is. Yeah. I may have to go plug this. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to go plug this in. But, having my family healthy, having my mom not in the hospital makes me happy. So, yeah. Yep.
Helen, as we grow younger and younger, having more of my family alive really is a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
having them important. Not get this damn virus, that would make me happy. Yeah.
Yeah. And protecting one another and explaining to other people that I may not be... I may be wearing this for many reasons, this face covering, for many reasons beyond you and me right here. Like the fact that I want to go see my mom later this week or...
In
my case, I have to go to my mother's house, and she has some very pretty severe respiratory issues.
Yeah,
and
my mom too. Yeah,
is at high risk, and 100% honestly, has a living will that says she's never to be intubated. So, if my mother gets it, and I'm responsible for giving it to her, you see the chain of events there.
Yeah, like, my mom has COPD. And in our family, we have two babies. So we canceled Thanksgiving because, you know, God knows. So,
yeah. Just can't.
Yeah. Yep.
That doesn't make me happy, but knowing that I'm protecting my loved ones does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd much rather run up and give them a hug.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm going to have to resign myself in the happiness of knowing that I'm protecting them by not doing so.
Yep. Yep. I find I'm happy when I'm going through stuff and getting rid of stuff, too. I don't know what that's about, but yeah.
Like literally just downsizing, getting rid of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. That makes me happy. I don't know why. I think I need a shrink.
Well, for what it's worth, you're not alone. Yeah. As we said, I've spent all these years collecting this incredible... I mean, you can see the variety of muck behind me.
Yeah.
And just making some of that go away makes me so happy. I spent all this time getting these things that I thought were going to make me happy, and getting rid of them, way happier.
Yeah, yeah.
Way really happier.
Yep.
Not to ever be applied to fabric. Can we agree on that one?
Yeah. Can you pause this for a second?
Absolutely. I'm going to run away too real quick.
Okay.
So yeah, back from break, we were what makes us happy, and I think you've covered that pretty well. Oddly taking a break right at the very end, but do you have anything that you want to say about you or to the world or about all this flim-flam we talked about for the last hour or so?
You know, whoever owns or whoever gets the nomination for president, I want to tell people to knock their shit off. Quit. You need to get out there and talk to folks and be a human being. And quit being a shit. I, you know, some of these young kids who are out there protesting and burning shit, they need a smack in the top of the head. Because we're all human beings and we're all Americans. I don't care what color we are. I don't care what we believe, what your religion, what your body type, what your gender. We're all human beings, and we all need to treat each other like human beings. So you need to knock the shit off and just treat each other like you yourself would like to be treated. And maybe we would have a better world right now. So,
well, that's old God. that's kind of back to the show up and let somebody know that they're not alone and pay attention.
Yeah.
Sentiment that has come up so frequently. There is one little point I'm going to call you on.
Okay.
And it's because it's a personal sticking point.
Okay.
The people that are protesting and the people that are destroying things are two different people.
Yes. Yeah.
Destroying people are destroying people. That's just what they're doing and who they are.
Yeah.
The protesting people are not those people. And I just have to hold that hard line because I know it's very blurred, especially through our media. It's a huge struggle right now. And especially, as you mentioned, during this moment where you and I are, this will come out weeks. We'll know who the president is going to be by the time this comes out. But we are sitting like behind this screen that I'm staring at right now. I have the election results on constant refresh.
Ooh.
It is that point in our world, and I agree.
Yeah.
Let's knock our shit off.
Yeah.
Let's quit trying to define a divide. Let's try and just speak to people like they're people.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to listen to each other. You know, shut up and listen to each other. Yeah. And you know what? I will take my chops from you because you're right. Yes. I mean, they have the right to protest, to get their point of view heard. But yeah, when you're out there burning shit down, nah.
Yeah. And I would like to talk to you a little bit more about that if you have more time, but let's not do that on mic.
Okay. All right.
Will you let me thank you for doing this and for coming back and tell you that you're one of the fucking great ones, Vicky. Thank you.
Wow.
You're just fantastic.
Boy, do I have you, Buffalo kid. All right.
For what it's worth. It works.
All right. Thank you.